For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The man who's been there for every practice is our good friend, Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He joins us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. First of all, Chris, thank you so much for joining us. Secondly, you can't say Justin Fields here, and we'll start broadly. Who are you most looking forward to seeing tonight, and who can prove the most tonight?
I'm really looking forward to seeing the two rookie offensive linemen they drafted in the first two rounds, and that's Troy Faltanu and Zach Frazier. I think both have taken really good strides in camp. I think Faltanu has looked the best of the two, but I think this has been Zach Frazier's best week in practice. We were wondering, and I think I talked with you guys before, after the first week and a half, even the first week in pads, we hadn't seen a whole lot from Zach Frazier. He was kind of, you know, still figuring it out, kind of settling in. But this week, we started to see some of the pops from Zach Frazier that I saw from him on film WVU, you know, his ability to get strong in the pocket, to kind of stand up to people. We saw him flatten Beanie Bishop, had some WVU on WVU violence a couple days ago in practice, where he kind of hit him really hard. But I think we've started to see him come into his own. And Troy Faltanu, I think that his ability to pass protect is a lot sharper than a lot of rookie tackles that I see come into the NFL. And I think if he does well enough and Broderick Jones does well enough, I think that they're going to push the idea that they can start together more to the forefront instead of just Dan Moore starting at left tackle. I still think Dan Moore ends up starting week one, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than, say, where Broderick Jones was to replace Chuksa Okorafor last year.
That's exactly what I was about to ask you, Chris. Is Faltanu, how far ahead, I'll ask it this way, is Faltanu compared to where Broderick Jones was last year at this time?
He's significantly farther. I'd say, like, if I was to compare it in terms of weeks, like, I think Broderick Jones became a starter in week 9. I would expect him to become a starter by or before week 4. And simply because Faltanu's older, he's more experienced. Like, Broderick Jones, his thing at Georgia, he was raw. He didn't get a whole bunch of starts, but you could just tell he was so good. Faltanu is not raw. He's very polished from his time at Washington. And in fact, I think that's helped him adapt to the NFL a bit faster. But Broderick Jones is also, you know, was also like 21, right? Where Faltanu, he's more like 23, 24. He's in that age range where he should be a little bit further along. And I think that's helping him for sure right now. His technique is more sound. He's more comfortable at the position. And I think that's where there's a difference between the two. I think Broderick Jones has the higher ceiling, but I think Faltanu is coming in with the higher floor than Broderick Jones did last year. Either way, it's a very good situation for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the future of their offensive line.
Let's talk about Justin Fields now. What do you need to see out of him tonight that makes you go at the end of the game, okay, like this is legit? What are you looking for out of Justin Fields the most?
Be on time, be accurate, and be within the structure of the play. Those are the things that I've been most impressed by with Justin Fields in camp. Early on, he would show happy feet. And I asked Mike Tomlin, what's the biggest thing he's improved? Mike Tomlin said it's his lower body work. And when he means by that, it means by, like, you know, not dancing with your feet in the pocket to just dance with your feet in the pocket, because then you get nervous, then you make mistakes, you walk your way into pressure. But he's not doing that as much anymore. He's been very deliberate with his steps, which means he's deliberate with his throws, and I think that's really gone a long way. I think it could mean a lot if Justin Fields is able to, you know, to show, hey, I adapt to what the defense was doing, and I went to my second or third read and did so within like the structure of a play instead of kind of moving around, buying time, and then it kind of becoming a Ben Roethlisberger sandbox play, which that's fine too. But the thing is, everyone knows Justin Fields can do that and do that well. What people need to see is, can he do that within the structure of the play on time to kind of show, hey, these designs that Arthur Smith has, they're to break down certain weaknesses when we see certain defenses. If we make that a regular thing, then that makes it that much more dangerous, and it makes the whole offense that much more dangerous. If Justin Fields shows he can be part of that, I'm not saying he replaces Russell Wilson, but I think he would continue to close the gap between them so that the Steelers wouldn't feel as limited as they might have about the Justin Fields we saw to start training camp being replacing Russell Wilson in a game.
Chris Carter joining us here of the Post-Gazette, the Locked On Steelers podcast as well. Chris, if we're talking about a wide receiver on Monday when we start our show at 6 o'clock, which wide receiver do you think we would be talking about? Not Brandon Ayuk. I can already see the smirk forming on your face.
I think you'll be talking about Van Jefferson. I've been very impressed by what he's shown in camp. You know, he talked to a bunch of us now about the kind of routine that he's done. He adopted the Antonio Brown workout, which is after practice catching 300 passes from the jugs machine from different angles. He does like 50 over one shoulder, 50 over another shoulder, 25 down low, 25 up high, and then he keeps doing them from different looks. And that's something that he said the equipment staff told him that, hey, Antonio Brown used to do this. He's like, well, if he did it, then I got to do it. And I think it's really helped him. I've asked him, you know, how it's translated into practice. And he said, like, hey, it's helping me, like, high point at the right time. It's helping me make more consistent catches. And I think that here's the thing about the Brandon Ayuk trade. I don't think that Omar Khan needs to be pressed to make this happen, because I think the Steelers have an assortment of wide receivers behind George Pickens that can be good role players. And I think that's what Van Jefferson can be. I think that's what Calvin Austin can be. And I think if Roman Wilson comes back healthy and picks up where he left off in training camp, I think that he can also be in that mix there. The Steelers don't necessarily need a number two superstar wide receiver to be that. If you go back and look at years like 2014 and 2016, where their passing offense ranked in the top 10, and I think one of those years they ranked second in the league in passing yardage, the next ranking wide receiver was either Marcus Wheaton or Eli Rogers in those years, and neither of them had even 700 yards through the air. I don't think that they need Brandon Ayuk to be a good offense this year. Now, would he make their offense better? Absolutely. But I think that's the situation that Omar Khan knows he has. It's like, look, these receivers aren't bad. And if Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin, if those guys prove that in the preseason, I think it furthers the stance that Omar Khan can take in these negotiations and say, I don't need to jump up to whatever John Lynch's price is for the San Francisco 49ers. Here's the offer. Take it or leave it. Oh, and by the way, that guy doesn't seem to like you guys over there, so you might want to take this offer, because he also doesn't want to go to a lot of these different teams you're trying to send him to. So I think Van Jefferson and the other receivers, they're adding to the leverage that Omar Khan has to stand put and say, okay, 49ers, do you really want to get rid of him? If you do, we might be your only takers.
It's been reported that DeMarvin Leal is moving to outside backer. Why do you think that is, and should we read into more than just a player switching a position?
It's part of his tweener ability. He did this a little bit as a rookie. He put on like 20 pounds last year, and he wasn't able to do that. He took off those 20 pounds this year, and he's back to doing that. I think the read into it is Mike Tomlin loves versatile players, and DeMarvin Leal, I said it when they drafted him 3 years ago. I was like, that guy can be versatile if they want him to be. He can line up on the inside, and he can line up on the outside. And I think it's like, the thing is, Leal's body type and his strength, he also is very young. You have to remember, he came out at 21 years old. It was his third year in college. He could have stayed in and bulked up and developed more in college, but you know, that didn't happen. And now he's in the NFL. He's kind of figuring things out. It takes some of these defensive linemen who have longer frames, longer to fill them out. I mean, go back and look at Stephon Tuitt's start of his career. There were flashes here and there of him being good, but he didn't become the dangerous Stephon Tuitt until maybe like his third or fourth year in the NFL, that where I think that he was a much more serious threat. Now he's further along than where DeMarvin Leal is, but still, I think Liao, I think that he's growing into his role. I think that right now the extra edge rusher is just a flexible option that the Steelers want to be able to use. It won't be his permanent fit, but it will be part of the defense. And again, they like that because now you can come out in a set where, say, it's him and Keanu Benton and Cam Hayward, and all of a sudden you think it's a 3-4, it's a three down. Nope, he actually bumps out to the edge, and it's a different look. And now the offense has to be like, crap, that's not what we thought this would look like. So now it forces them to have to think and make and potentially make more mistakes. That's where the strength could be coming from DeMarvin Leal.
Chris, this was very good. We appreciate your time as always, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Headed over to the south side for some pit practice. It's going to be an exciting day with that, and then the Steelers tonight.
Yeah, drink nice. Up. Drink some water. Make sure you're hydrated out there.
I got some.
That's the world's smallest tiny water. Did you see that thing?
What is that going to do? That's going to hydrate your hydrate your pointer finger.
It looks like when Andre the Giant would hold a beer can. That, I mean, come on now. All right, Carter, thanks a lot. Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast, brought to us by Gutter Helmet. Beat the fall rush. Get 35% off Gutter Helmet. Visit gutterhelmet.com or call 888-5-HELMET.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.